Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic, hits the road now.
Broadcasting live inside the Orlando Magic Studios, here's your host, Aaron Berlin.
We're back. Hope everybody's enjoying the NCAA tournament. If you didn't know, Kansas won yesterday. They'll play on Saturday at 9:40 if you're looking for a time to watch them. Anyway, Magic 2 play tonight. They get set for a 7:10 tip time against the Memphis Grizzlies in what is a very important game for them in the chase for the 8th and final spot in the Eastern Conference playoffs. They enter the day a game and a half back, looking to make up some ground. They have an opportunity. Both the Miami Heat and the Brooklyn Nets are in action later tonight, so make sure you keep your eyes peeled on those scores. Make sure you watch or listen to this Magic game. It should be a lot of fun. They host a Grizzlies team that has just been ravaged by injuries. And it's a Grizzlies team that they met a little bit more than 2 weeks ago in the Grindhouse. So maybe a little revenge factor on the men. So here's what's coming up on today's show. I'll tell you what, we have one guest that we thoroughly enjoy bringing on each and every time that these two teams meet, and that is Michael Wallace. If you have not heard of him, where you been? Covered the Miami Heat down in South Florida for a number of years now, working on Grind City Media with this Memphis Grizzlies team. Does a great job covering them. We'll talk to him in a matter of about 30 seconds, but just getting you set for today's matchup. Magic trying to make up some ground in the playoffs, trying to get a revenge game, and those are all the notes that I have. Just a reminder, it's never too early to secure your tickets for the 19-20 season. With a full season plan, you can enjoy every Orlando Magic home game all season long for as low as $12 per game. All you got to do, visit OrlandoMagic.com/tickets to get your full season plan today. All right, now it is my pleasure to welcome in Michael Wallace. You can follow him on Twitter at MyMicCheck of Grind City Media, who I consider the source. If you want to follow this Memphis Grizzlies, he knows it all. First off, Mike, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us. How's your day going?
Hey, it's going great, man. I'm glad to see the sunshine, glad to feel the 70-degree weather down here this time of year. It's always a pleasure to be on with you. Thanks for having me again.
I was going to say, you guys probably appreciate these trips around right now, don't you?
As a guy who lived 10 years in Miami before I moved to Memphis 3 years ago, I do not take these days for granted. So I tell you what, I'm enjoying every single bit of it.
Well, I will tell you what, the state of Tennessee right now is probably enjoying watching their Volunteers. I'm sure the city of Memphis wishes that Penny would have gotten his team in. But do you enjoy watching the NCAA tournament? Do you have a dog in this year's fight?
I really don't have a dog in this year. If it gets harder and harder for me to fill out my bracket every year because I get so locked into what's going on, especially when I'm covering teams that are contending for the playoffs in the NBA. This isn't one of those years here, but you know, I usually lock in right around conference tournament time and then hopefully hit a momentum by the time the Sweet 16 goes in. So I'm just watching as a fan. I got my bracket, but we'll see how that goes so far.
Well, I guess my follow-up question to that is, how far did you have Kansas going? I'm a Jayhawk, so that's really all I care about is how far you had them going.
You know what? I know I had them at least going to the Sweet 16,
right.
possibly the Elite Eight. But I had Michigan State, which survived the scare, actually. I had Michigan State and I believe North Carolina in the final, if that's even possible. I hope I don't have them both on the same bracket that came up with those two teams. But
no, it's definitely.
I think those are my two finals.
All right. I like that. I like that MSU team and I really like that Tar Heel team. And if they do make it to the Sweet 16, they'd play my Jayhawks, Roy Williams, opposite of his former employer. So I'm all about that. All right, Mike, let's go ahead and start transitioning and talking about this Memphis Grizzlies team. The first question I have for you is, as I look down this injury report, is anyone actually available tonight?
Yeah, it depends on if we could pick up a couple guys off the street on the way from the Grand Bohemian over to the arena tonight. But, you know, when you look at it, it's a long injury list. It's a combination of guys legitimately hurt and out for the season. A couple of veterans like Mike Conley and Joakim Noah. Conley's is doubtful. You know, he's playing on the first night of a back-to-back set, road home split, so he's going to err on the side of caution and get some of that general soreness out of the way tonight and try to give it a go tomorrow, obviously, against the Timberwolves at home. Joakim Noah is questionable with a knee issue, and he's another guy, 34 years old. With the Grizzlies having 11 games left and three back-to-back, they're going to err on the side of caution with some of the older guys. Now, the definite outs, obviously, from the injury report, start with Jaren Jackson Jr., the top rookie. So we're not going to see the Mo Bamba-Jaren Jackson Jr. matchup. We've been robbed of that, I think, both times this year because both of them have been out for both matchups.
Yeah.
Dylan Brooks, Avery Bradley, Kyle Anderson, C.J. Miles, those guys are all out dealing with possibly season-ending injuries. So we'll figure out who can suit up, and we might have a jersey for you if you're available.
Well, I'm pretty sure they don't want a 5'6 point guard. That'd be pretty bad. But I will tell you what, if you're looking for guys, you can come out to RDV, and we got some pickup basketball that goes on. You might be able to find a guy or two.
No doubt.
But with this Grizzlies team, how frustrated are they with some of the injuries, especially to the younger guys? It seems like a team that's kind of in transition or at least trying to figure things out a little bit where they want to go. Having injuries to those three young guys, specifically Kyle Anderson, Dylan Brooks, and Jaren Jackson Jr., has to make the evaluation of this roster very difficult.
Yeah, that's been one of the most disappointing aspects of the second half of this season. I mean, you know, when the Grizzlies made that midseason blockbuster trade, moving on finally from Marc Gasol, sending him to Toronto, they definitely signaled to the rest of the league that they're shifting to a different pace of play, a different kind of players, and we're going younger as much as possible. And so the second half of the season, you bring in, you know, a Valanciunas, you bring in, you know, a DeLon Wright, two younger guys, 26 years old or under, and then obviously you round them out with a couple of veterans you have to pick up for salary cap purposes in C.J. Miles and Avery Bradley. But, you know, you wanted to really unleash Jaren Jackson Jr. Now, he only had a chance to play two games since the trade deadline. So that's been disappointing. They haven't been able to evaluate, but they have seen some progress with some of the other pieces. Mike Conley, obviously, is playing the best basketball of his career, as I said before, during this stretch. So hopefully this can mean something. They're trying to find some momentum going into next season, and these kind of games, you know, help them do that, and we'll see how far they can take it.
Those two guys, Marc Gasol and Mike Conley, played a lot of basketball games together. How hard was that trade for the front office to actually consummate, and how hard was that on Mike Conley to deal with?
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is when they announced that they were going to field offers for both immediately, and I reported this and I said this, that doesn't mean that you're going to see both traded. As a matter of fact, I said from the second that the team made that public that I can first see Marc Gasol getting dealt, but Mike Conley being held onto. And that's exactly how it played out. The Grizzlies were less, I don't want to say desperate, but they were less aggressive in terms of feeling pressure to move on from Mike Conley. He still has 2 years left on that maximum contract he signed. Marc Gasol could become a free agent this summer. So they had risked the process of losing him without getting any prospects or picks back, and he could have walked away if he opted out. So, you know, I felt like that was key. That was a trigger in terms of shifting the way that they thought. For Mike Conley, it's been an emotional ride. They've been together since day one. Mike Conley's the longest tenured Grizzly on the roster now, and the next closest guy has played 600 fewer games for the Grizzlies than Mike Conley's played. So, I mean, that tells you he's sort of the last man standing, the Lone Ranger right now. But this is also a team that's built around his strengths. And what you've seen in March, particularly with him averaging 27-7, 7.4 assists, is really Mike being unleashed to be the Conley that he's always wanted to be.
I was going to say, it's been impressive to watch just how hard J.B. Bickerstaff has had this team playing both defensively, and they've been really efficient offensively when everyone else is healthy. How happy were they with the pieces that they got back? Because I thought getting Jonas Valanciunas back in that deal was a big piece of it, and he has played so well for this team down the stretch.
Yeah, Jonas, obviously, he was the centerpiece in coming back, and, you know, he gave the Grizzlies the ultimate kind of flexibility. He's played well enough where he can opt out of the final year that's left on his contract and become a free agent this summer. Obviously, the Grizzlies will have the inside track to re-sign him to the best deal, or he can opt into that $17.6 million that he has due on his contract for next season. Either way, the Grizzlies look at this as, at minimum, another year after this where they could have Jonas at least hit the services of a bruising big-time center who can get you 20 and 10 without really having to run a play for him. And that's just the effort and the energy that he brings to the table. And that's gonna complement, theoretically, Jaren Jackson Jr. and allow him the space to operate as sort of a stretch four. So that's a dynamic that, I could tell you what, I mean, no matter how the rest of this season plays out, the hope of seeing those two guys develop at power forward and center together with Mike Conley sort of steering the ship is intriguing enough for them to want to reset a lot of these guys that they do have right now.
I was going to say, and you mentioned that he just got to play two games after the All-Star break. How disappointing was that they didn't get an evaluation period to watch those two guys play together? Because that's exactly what they envisioned, right?
Yeah, I basically wrote an entire magazine piece on the two games that they played together, and I think they were on the floor together for probably 36 minutes total game time for those two games. And, you know, I think Jaren had close to a double-double, and Jonas came right off the bat and had a 2010 game, his first game in a Grizzlies uniform. So he showed that he can, you know, go right out there. And remember, when Jonas came over, he hadn't played in 2 months because he had a thumb situation he was dealing with from the days in Toronto that he injured back in December. So, you know, he really came in and fit well, and I think those two guys are going to be sort of not finesse, because Jaren can certainly do things in the block. But I think it gives Jaren an opportunity to be one of the more dynamic and stretch his game out and spread his game out. And you can have two 2010 guys on your front line. You're really doing something no matter what kind of style of ball you're playing.
Oh, absolutely. Whether it's inside out, whether it's bruising down low, you got both of them. What about Chandler Parsons? I looked at the box scores the last two games. This is a guy who's really struggled the last 2 years, really since he arrived in Memphis. Kind of seems like he's getting a little bit of a role with all these injuries right now.
He is. Chandler, amazingly, Chandler hasn't missed a game since he came back following the All-Star break. And, you know, everything that happened before that, obviously it was some, you know, I don't want to say miscommunication, but obviously there were two different interpretations of what was needed and what was best for the team. And it ultimately ended up with Chandler being away from the team for a couple of months. And since he's been back, he's been quiet. You know, he hasn't really ruffled many feathers. His teammates have always liked him. He's a very, very likable guy. His teammates appreciate, you know, what he can do when he's healthy. They've seen him struggle to regain his health. But over the last 3 weeks, to see what Chandler's been able to do in terms of putting games together in consecutive fashion, this is his longest consistent stretch of play that he's had in the 3 years that he's been with the Grizzlies. And then to come off of back-to-back double-figure scoring games, he had one of his best games of the season in Washington the other night. It was a loss. And then he came right back and hit a couple of big threes in clutch time in that overtime win over Houston the other night. So he's feeling good about himself, and you know, he's back in Florida, and I expect him to really want to go out there and put on a show for the first time, because I think he's fully healthy for the first time in his mind in terms of how he wants to approach this game.
I was going to say, it's been a long time since we've really gotten to see the real Chandler Parsons that this team signed with the idea that he was going to be a max contract player. So it's good to see him getting his legs back under him, good to see him having success, and it'd be great to see him tonight here in Central Florida. But okay, let's look towards the offseason a little bit, because when you look at this Grizzlies roster, they got six potential free agents, and I think it's, I don't know if it necessarily needs an overhaul with the way that J.B. Bickerstaff has really coached this team since the All-Star break, but it's kind of looking like they may need just subtle tweaks, right, instead of an entire roster overhaul?
Yeah, it does. It does. And that's one of the things that, you know, some people criticize the Grizzlies from the trades that they made on February 7th, that they didn't get back a future draft pick. Well, they got back a lot of flexibility. And then when you talk about some of the issues that they've had trying to stay below the luxury tax, they have the flexibility to certainly do that. Because when you look at, first and foremost, you have to decide, number one, what do you want to do with Mike Conley? I mean, if you really want to put him back out there and try to really, really fast-track a rebuild and bring back some future assets, then you make him available and you make that deal, and then you move forward and try to be young and stockpile, you know, your war chest of future assets. But if you want to continue to contend and try to bring it back and make the Western Conference playoffs, then you bring Mike Conley back. And I think if you bring Conley back, then I think Valanciunas opts in as the next domino, or either opts out and plans to re-sign with the Grizzlies on a longer-term deal. And then once you do that, you figure out where you're going to land in the draft, whether you get a pick or you convey that pick to Boston, because Boston owns their first-round pick this season if the Grizzlies finish ninth or above in terms of ninth, 10th, 11th, 12th, or 13th. Or 14th in the draft order. So if they do that, then Boston gets the pick. If they finish in the top eight, then Memphis gets to keep the pick. So that's another piece that you add right there. So it's a lot of different things that must happen over the next, you know, several weeks after the season ends, and then we go into July knowing exactly where things stand.
Well, I'd have a hard time giving up Mike Conley in any kind of scenario, and a top eight pick for you guys would just be adding another asset to already a pretty impressive roster. Hey, Mike, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us. We always love having you on, and it's always great.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me, man. I definitely appreciate it.
Anytime, though. It's Mike Wallace of Grand City Media. Does a great job covering this Memphis Grizzlies team. I'll tell you what, they have a lot of great content across all of their organizational assets. All you got to do, go to memphisgrizzlies.com or check out Grind City Media. You can also follow him on Twitter at MyMikeCheck. Does a wonderful job. All right, when we return here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, the Magic still are playing for something. They enter the day a game and a half back of the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Can they catch up a game tonight? Both teams are in action. We'll take a look at the playoff picture when we return.
Our Magic never compromise on the court, and Magic fans don't have to compromise when it comes to diamonds, engagement rings, and fine jewelry. You always get more at International Diamond Center. IDC is Florida's leading jeweler, recognized statewide for excellence in every category, selection, value, and trust. And that's why we've been named Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic again this year. So come visit one of our eight showrooms across the state or 24/7 at shopidc.com/gomagic. International Diamond Center, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
Exciting news, Magic fans and pasta lovers. Olive Garden, and the Orlando Magic have teamed up for a delicious giveaway. When the Magic make three or more dunks during a home game, everyone in attendance receives an offer for free soup, salad, and breadsticks. Just look for a text code during or after the game to redeem. Grab your tickets for the opportunity to score this mouth-watering deal. Then show off a few sweet dunks of your own at Olive Garden.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.
All right, he's been so balanced. But I think the other thing that he's doing, which is so important for our team, is, you know, he's defending and all that, and he's very verbal on the floor. The other thing, though, he's getting three or four defensive rebounds a game where he pushes the pace. And it's good for him, and it's very good for our team.
There's no doubt about it. Aaron Gordon has really kind of come into his own over the last 2 weeks. How about his line the other night against the Pelicans? 20 points, 7 boards, 6 assists, but more importantly, he was a plus 36 in the final box. You know, Aaron Gordon now, in his fifth year in the NBA, you know, one of the more impressive things at shoot-around today is, you know, usually you have a game like that, you come off a night like that, and you have the swagger that an NBA player typically does. You want to talk about what you did, what your numbers were. Aaron Gordon wasn't having any of it at today's shoot-around. In fact, he wanted to do nothing but talk about how good defensively this team has been as a unit, and how his other teammates were helping him get involved. And I think that's growth from a player. I think it's maturity from a player. And I think we've seen a lot of that from Aaron Gordon over the course of the last 2.5 months with this Magic team. And believe it or not, because of that growth, because of that maturity, now this Magic team resides just 1.5 games out of the 8th and final spot for the Eastern Conference playoffs. At 34-38, 21-16 inside their home building, they have an opportunity to build upon that tonight when they host the Memphis Grizzlies, who roll in at 29-42, 10-25 out on the NBA road. Hey, special thanks to Michael Wallace in segment number one for joining us. You know, I think if you're going to go to anyone who covers a team, who is the source of information from a team, there's nobody better than Michael Wallace and how he covers that Memphis Grizzlies team. Does a great job for Grain City Media. If you did not get a chance to listen to that interview, if you're heading into tonight's basketball game, you can catch it on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, or TuneIn in about 15 minutes. So listen to it on your drive-in. Get ready for tonight's basketball game, and it should be a fun one. So I have a theory heading into tonight's basketball game, right? The Magic are in the midst of what is a 5-game homestand, and it is one of the most crucial of this season. And yes. I get it. For the last 2 weeks, we've been saying each game builds with importance. Each game has been the watershed moment. That's because it is. But when you look at these next 3 games, depending on how many games reside, they get crucial. You have Memphis tonight, a team that is now officially without the services of Mike Conley, who will not play due to general soreness. The handful of other players that are out for them tonight, Kyle Anderson, Avery Bradley, Dylan Brooks, Jaren Jackson Jr., CJ Miles, they're all out. If you don't get tonight's basketball game, then I don't know what in the world you're doing. And more importantly, you're trying to keep pace with the teams that are ahead of you in the Miami Heat and the Brooklyn Nets. And we've spent shows talking about their schedules and what they have going on. But these next 3 games, when you look at it, Memphis tonight, it's a game that you should win depending on what their personnel looks like tonight. Then you have the Sixers on Monday on the front end of a back-to-back, and then what I'm deeming is probably this team's most important game since the last time they were in the NBA playoffs against the Miami Heat on Tuesday night on the back end of a back-to-back. If you don't take 2 of those 3, I don't know how in the world you, I guess the word I'm looking for, conceivably think that this team will end up in the playoffs. If you take 1 of those 3, then it gets very, very difficult because after that game against Miami, just 7 games remain. And the fewer and fewer games that remain, the harder and harder it is to climb a mountain. And I get it. That's a very simplistic way of looking at it. But it's not hard. It's not a difficult way to look at it, and you shouldn't overthink it. Right, Cody? You just got to win the games that are ahead of you.
No, and we've been talking about that. You've just got to be able to put up W's because you can't control then what the other teams are going to do. You can look at the standings and say, hey, Brooklyn is, you know, right there. You could catch Detroit, you know, 2.5, 3.5 games, what have you. But the bottom line is there's only 10 games left in the year. So you've got to win as many as you can because while Brooklyn may have a tough schedule, while Miami has some easier opponents coming up in terms of win-loss record, but a little bit tougher ones at the end, you don't know what they're going to do. Miami at Milwaukee tonight. You've got Brooklyn in L.A. to take on the Lakers. All that the Magic can control is 7 o'clock at the Amway Center against the Grizzlies.
Absolutely. And that was one thing that Magic head coach Steve Clifford really spoke about at shoot-around today is, You know, he was surprised that a team that for the first time in the last 6 years that is playing for something is so relaxed. They're so easygoing. And you could see it at Shoot Around today. And, you know, there's always a sign between teams that are finding themselves, that are relaxed, and teams that are kind of out of it, dry, you know, not thinking about what's going on. And it's the matter of simplicity of games at either a batting practice, games at a shoot-around. You know, like today I saw Emil Jefferson and DJ Augustine, and they've done this the last three shoot-arounds that we've been involved, playing a three-point game. Last year, for the last 5 years, I couldn't tell you this time of year you ever saw that. You ever saw people having fun at shoot-around because you were coming to work for essentially nothing. Now you're coming to work for something to play for.
No, absolutely. And I think they're taking on that persona of Steve Clifford. You know, we've talked about it. A lot of these guys don't know what it's like to be in a playoff race. A lot of these guys haven't played in a ton of meaningful games in March and April in their NBA careers. And yet they seem to be taking on that mantra of Steve Clifford, who is very even keel and knows when he needs to turn it on and knows when he needs to dial it back in terms of reaching his guys and reaching his teams and picking the moments that he, you know, wants to emphasize to his players. I think that's the most important and most interesting thing about this team is they seem to be just fine in the moment and are taking on that persona that Coach Clifford has.
Well, they've won by a total of 67 points over the last three games, and I think that displays it enough. Games to watch tonight. Miami is at Milwaukee. That is an 8:30 tip time, so we'll watch that one throughout the course of tonight's basketball game against the Grizzlies for the Magic. And then, of course, later on tonight, the Nets visit the Lakers as they continue their West Coast swing. So LeBron James is going to play in that basketball game, so it should be a fun one to watch. Hey, just a reminder, Magic fans, don't miss your chance to be a part of history during the 30th anniversary season presented by Advent Health. Join the playoff push and see the Magic take on teams like the Sixers, the Knicks, the Hawks as they visit the Amway Center. Get your seats now at OrlandoMagic.com. It's pure magic. All right, that does it for us this week on Magic Drive Time presented by International Diamond Center. We're back at it on Monday. A big game down at the AC. A big one tonight, though. Head down there. Enjoy this basketball game. Enjoy your weekend, guys.
Our Magic never compromise on the court. And Magic fans don't have to compromise when it comes to diamonds, engagement rings, and fine jewelry. You always get more at International Diamond Center. IDC is Florida's leading jeweler, recognized statewide for excellence in every category, selection, value, and trust. And that's why we've been named Exclusive Jeweler of the Orlando Magic again this year. So come visit one of our 8 showrooms across the state or 24/7 at shopidc.com/gomagic. International Diamond Center, where Magic fans shop for jewelry.
Chick-fil-A has teamed up with the Magic to reward fans with free original chicken sandwiches. If the Magic hit 5 or more three-pointers in a home game, everyone in attendance of that game will win a free original chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A.
Left corner, that's Fournier for three. Got it to go.
People up front.
All you have to do is take your ticket stub or your redemption offer in the Magic app at any participating Central Florida location for a free original chicken sandwich. For official rules, visit OrlandoMagic.com/Chick-fil-A.
You're listening to Magic Drive Time.